next show, we pray. Heavenly Father, we welcome your presence. We know that as far as the flesh is concerned, the lives we live therein, we are not worthy, Lord, that you should come into our presence or we should be found in yours. But we know that you are the one who initiated it, and therefore we ought to be glad and rejoice and give glory unto you and be happy, Lord, not only with your coming and the great wealth and treasure you brought us, but happy within ourselves and with ourselves because of what you have said concerning the end time, that there would be a people one with you. Even this end time, you told us that you would be one of the Father and we'd be one with you and all one. And we've seen that in these messages. And we appreciate your presence tonight. We just ask you now, by the blessed Holy Spirit that is here leading the bride to the millennium, and that Spirit within us may come together concerning the great Word of God, and we may receive it and revel in it, rejoice in it, and know for a surety this is it, and there is nothing else, that this is what was supposed to be and is, and we're very grateful for it. May it become more and more clear to us until, Lord, we look back on these years. The prophet's gone a long time now, 28 years, Lord, gone by, and yet come to this place, Lord, they say, well, we just didn't even know anything in those 28 years, a little growth here, but now we see as we've never seen before. And we know the glory of the full sunlight has broken upon your people, and that bride tree has come back, and there will be a resurrection. There'll be immortality. There'll be a bride taken away to the wedding supper. This is a surety. We thank you for it. May we learn more tonight by your grace. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now we're on number 12 of the Restoration of the Bride Tree. And in studying this message, we find Brother Branham constantly referring to organization based on creeds and dogmas that are perverted revelations of the Word as a destructive insect that is constantly trying to completely destroy God's church or bride tree. Now Brother Branham pinned it down to organization. Now, this is not an unreasonable premise, for it's absolutely true that the church or bride of the Lord Jesus Christ is based upon the true Word of God, truly revealed, according to Matthew 16. We've been through many times, you know the Scripture. Thus, any insect or spirit that can make a change in the foundation or faith that was once and for all delivered to the saints is bound to wreak havoc on the tree. It says in Psalms 11 and 3, if the foundations be destroyed, what shall the righteous do? Now you notice the foundations are accredited to the righteous and to nobody else. And it says right there, if the foundations of the righteous are destroyed, they're put aside, they're brought to naught, something happening to them, then the righteous absolutely are groundless. There's no continuity. There's no stability. There's no way that the work can be consummated. Now, also over in 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, 9 to 17, you'll notice, for we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry. That's God's field. God's planting. You are God's building. Notice the two are the same. But you notice a building is inanimate, while a husbandry speaks of animation. Even those plant life, but that's perfectly fine because the tree is a plant. So you are God's planting. You are God's building. According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. So let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. Now you notice that Paul laid a foundation. And that foundation has been laid and thoroughly backed by the Word of Almighty God, so that no matter what happens, how the building comes up upon it, whatever takes place, you're going to find that that foundation cannot possibly ever be removed. In other words, it tells you here that the foundation could ever be removed and destroyed, as it says in Psalms, where would the righteous be? Well, you could never be the building of God. There's no way. So now we see that this foundation has been laid. It can never be changed. It's absolutely there, and it'll never, ever diminish or go away. Now, you can do a lot of other kind of building on it. Now, he says, other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, Brother Branham clarified that again by Christ is the Word, and we have also from Matthew 16, his words, by divine revelation and vindication, that the foundation of the church is truly revealed, true word. So, other foundation can no man lay that would Paul lay. So, therefore, there has got to be a tree, there has got to be a building. There's no way that you can change it. Now, there can be other foundations out there, man can try to lay them, but it isn't going to do any good, showing you that organization is completely farcical. It's a farce. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. Now, you can take that foundation which cannot be changed, and you can start messing around with it. And it tells you that you have the opportunity of producing gold, silver, precious stones, or wood, hay, and stubble. And every man's work should be made manifest, for the day shall declare it. Now, we already know that to be true because that's declared in Hebrews 4 and 12. The revealing of men's hearts, we know. Because it shall be revealed by fire. Now, this is even going further. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which is built thereon, he shall receive a reward. And if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved yet as by fire. Now, you can take that to the Catholic dogma and the Protestant dogma, if you want to. And you're going to end up behind the eight ball, completely out of the ballpark. You got to stick with what Brother Branham said. And here you find it tells you there's only one foundation. And now that foundation cannot change. And if you are a part of it, remember, the pillar in the church was a part of the foundation. The pillar goes clean to the top. Now you mess around, you'll lose every single thing that you could have had. Now here is eternal security. But at the same time, it's the truth that's eternal security, that because you're eternally secure, people think they can do anything they want. Now, that's Baptists and the rest of those buzzards out there, but that's not this. You cannot do it. So you see what we're talking about here? That foundation cannot change. And it says, if the foundation be gone, the righteous will not appear. Now, the righteous have to appear, and they have to stand right there, and they will not be blown away. But they're going to have to stand there to receive what they've done in the flesh. Now, all you got to do is sit here tonight and know what we've gone through in this church and what I preached over all the years and told you about men who have done desperate of the Spirit of grace, done rotten things, and they think they're getting away with it. Let me tell you here again, what you sow, you reap. Listen, Grace Gospel Tabernacle. I may not be your pastor. I'm just a teacher. But let me teach you now. It's time that you and I learn how to sow in order to reap, because we're going to reap exactly what we sow, because the Bible distinctly said as long as there's heaven and earth, there'll be seed time and harvest, and that goes plumb into the millennium beyond. You do what you want about it. You want to fool with it, go ahead and fool. You're going to wish you'd learned a few things how to sow. You will wish that you'd gone to the Word of God to find what you should do. Says, well, God talks to me. When men say that, I think women say it more than men. Because they think that little intuition they have is God, hogwash. Just make you a good medium. Shows where you're heading. All right, let's go even further now. We're going to talk more about foundation and what's built on that. So we go and to show you the surety of the true foundation of God in Matthew, the 7th chapter. And in Matthew 7, we're going to read the 24th verse, beginning. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And that goes for the females too, don't worry. Man is more or less generic there. And the rain descended, the flood came, and the wind blew and beat upon that house,
and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. It says, listen, the fury of hell can come against you. The gates of hell can come against you. But as the psalmist said, I will not fear what man can do unto me. And they'll do plenty in this last day. Now, it couldn't fall. It could not fall because it was founded upon a rock. Now, there again you see your eternal security. You see, positively, no matter what happens, even what you do, you will get there. Brother Branham found out that little girl that was tremendously, wonderfully healed and died within a couple of days. And God finally gave him a vision of cleaning the girl up and then taking her away because he knew she wouldn't be able to stand. There are people just like that that are born again. They will not pay the price of sowing in God's word. They will not stay with that word, and God, in grace and mercy, takes them off the scene so they don't mess up further and mess other people up too. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them shall be likened unto a foolish man. Doeth them not, rather. Shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. The rains descended, the floods came and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. So what you're looking at here is the word of God truly revealed is the foundation of the bride and every single bride member. Now, let's just stop and realize that verses 15 to 23 precede, they go before verses 24 to 27. And notice what it says in verse 24, says, therefore, whosoever heareth. Now, what's he going to listen to? Take verse 15, beware of false prophets. What's a false prophet? A fellow that comes to you, and he can even come with signs and wonders and visions and dreams and show a lot of credibility, if not a great deal of credibility, as far as certain manifestations are concerned. But when it comes to the word, he is off. Now, listen about this fellow that's this false prophet. He comes to you in sheep clothing, but inwardly he's a ravening wolf. He's got one thing in mind, and that's to destroy you. Let us sink in. I could stand here tonight with one purpose in mind, to destroy every one of you. Yes. I could. You don't believe that, do you? Well, Brother Bailey, I know you. Oh, you know everybody. You don't know how serious this is. You see how I fought all these years and taken the stand I've taken with the prophet. Because it's serious. One word off is Satan's kingdom. Period. Vindicated. Vindicated. So now we know scientifically. And that's what happened to Eve, one word off, and Satan got the whole shebang for 6,000 years. Now, ravening wolves. Now watch what he says. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? For every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. Now, in the light of the bride tree, in the light of the true bride of Christ, based upon the true foundation of the true word of God truly revealed, can't you see what this is me has said, just the same as over here? Don't you know that verses 15 to 23 is identical to verses 24 to 27? There isn't any difference. He's talking about false prophets who bring forth a false word. They got all the fruit. They've got all the gifts. They're all so wonderful. They're all so marvelous. And talk your plumb into hell, too. Now, even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. Now, that tells you again, bride tree and non-bride tree. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. I will restore, saith the Lord. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. I will destroy, saith the Lord. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you shall know them. Now listen, keep on reading. Not every one that saith to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. And God's will is his word, period. Quote from Brother Branham. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name cast the devils, and thy name done wonderful works? Then I'll profess, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that are off the word. Yeah. You that got sucked in and took a wrong word, because that pleased you. You couldn't take the rigors of the wind blowing upon you. Something's wrong with those people. You see, I never knew you. Then he says, therefore, whosoever heareth my word in contradistinction to the unrevealed perverted word, is a man that's got a sure foundation, and no matter what happens, and even during the storms of life, if he chickens out like I did and quit preaching for a little while, and I came back to it, don't worry, I learned not to chicken out. That's why I hang tough today. I'll die with it. What else can I do? He said, no matter what happens, you have got it made. Why? Because his word will not fail. The very name of Elohim is the strong one bound by an oath. All right. You can understand then how perfectly Brother Branham is teaching us. When you compare Matthew 7 and 1 Corinthians 3, you can see how that God allowed, as Brother Branham said, we could join churches, be baptized in titles, shake hands, and get by with it. Well, did he say it or didn't he say it? When did he say it? March of 1963, right? Is that when he preached the seals? That's when he said it. All right. One must be baptized correctly unto repentance and receive a genuine baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's for today. Now we know the bride, like Eve, fell as in 2 Corinthians 11. Now remember, she is the original type, and she is that tree, because the woman's a fruit tree. I'm not going to go back to the humanistic. We've got to keep moving. And we saw the church go into almost a total blackout in the fourth age, which set the tenor that mother church and daughters would go into the great tribulation because that church did not repent. Now, repentance was granted the Catholic Church in the fourth church age. And the warning was, if you do not repent, you and all of your daughters, this miserable prostitute company, is going to end up in the great tribulation and in the lake of fire, which is the second death. And they did not repent because Luther came at the end of that age and the Catholic Church denounced the Word of God 100%. The very man that they commissioned, the Pope commissioned him, made him said, now listen, you study the Word and you learn every single thing and you are qualified. They made him a doctor. And he came out realizing the Catholic Church was a complete prostitute to the Word of God. And then they kicked him out. And it hadn't been for the grace of God that some of the nations rose up against the Pope. Because he's just a big fat bluff most of the time. He's got to get someone to do dirty work for him. Either armies. So those in Germany helped him to overcome. And Luther was saved. Now, he gave, in that blackout, the fourth church age, set the tenor that the mother church and daughters would go into the great tribulation and second death, while a few would be received by Christ, the great overcomer. From that time on, there has been something set that was not set before. Now in the fifth age, after great darkness engulfs the church, restoration begins under Luther. But there came that bug again, organization. And Wesley came, and it organized, and also died. And then Pentecost, and a repetition comes forth, but in spite of that, God will restore. Why? Because there's a foundation that's being built upon. And you know something? If you've got a good foundation, you can take that house and bulldoze it. You can take that house and burn it. Now remember, burning is the secret. Don't talk about God dropping a ball. The truth is, at the lake of fire, there isn't any bomb. There is burning. The fan is in his hand, and there is burning. So don't try to talk about God dropping a bomb on a house. What I'm trying to say is, and I am saying, is this. If there's a foundation there and the house burns, the foundation remains. Because it's rock, solid rock.
So, all right. That life is there in that foundation, and God is going to have some type of an edifice built upon it. And when the fire thoroughly tries all the works, there won't be any there. There'll be the pure, unadulterated lives of those people in the great redemption. Now, at Pentecost, a repetition, but in spite of that, God will restore. And at the same time, all but the bride goes over to the unholy system and or dies. Now, we'll begin to read on page 69, paragraph 7, where Brother Branham begins to carry Reformation under Lutheranism, Wesleyanism, Pentecostism to the restoration of the bride tree. And there's some amazing things in here. Notice the same insects. As he restores back the same thing by the same way. In other words, a restoration starts in which is really a reformation. The first, when that tree started to come forth out of Catholicism, you see how that age? I gave her space to repent and she wouldn't do it. Was Martin Luther, who preached justification. The second messenger angel was John Wesley, who preached sanctification. Luther preached justification, just shall live by faith. Wesley preached sanctification, the second depth and work of grace. Then came the Holy Ghost, just as he built the tree up the first time. Here he is restoring again in the same matter the second time. Now, Brother Branham brought that out. He brought out the fact of justification and sanctification. Sanctified by the Word, justified by Him. And going on then to Pentecost, which was the baptism when the Holy Spirit divided Himself upon the people, then came back as an individual to Paul to bring the true revelation and set the church in order, to set the foundation positively for the Gentile church. And we'll see things that Brother Branham brings out. We take you right to Scripture and time after prove it time after time. This man knew 100% what he was teaching. And you don't need any other teaching. If you do, you're shot. You're what? See? We'll show you that in just a minute. Just as he built the tree the first time, here he's restoring again the second. The same manner. They got matter here, but the same manner the second time. See that? Notice, the same insect, that little rascal, the same insect that started to kill the tree in the beginning, started right back at the Lutheran branches. Now, what was it that started? One word off under Eve. One word off and under Paul. They left it. Not Paul didn't do it. They did it. But what? It can't kill it. They can't kill it. Kill it because God's done said, I'll restore. Now, usually I'd have said, God said. But I like the word here, God done said. In other words, He's done saying it. And you ain't got a prayer to change it. As He said, all the bugs loose from hell isn't going to have a thing to do with it. I will restore, saith the Lord. That insect started on Luther to kill all the Lutheran branches. It came right over to Wesley and killed all the Wesleyan branches. But the main part of the tree keeps coming. Now notice, in the old time, when the tree was killed, it was killed plumb down to the roots when it was killed back there. But this time, because the word's predestinated, there's nothing going to stop it. God said, I will restore. No matter how much they organize, how much they do this, that, or the other thing, I'm going to restore. I'm going to do it. That settles it. All the laughing, making fun, scoffing, calling holy rollers, nonsense, everything else. God still said, I will restore, saith the Lord. Now, let's go and understand this in its perfection. In Matthew, the 12th chapter, it says right here, Behold my servant, 18th verse, whom I have chosen, my beloved, whom my soul is well pleased. I put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not strive nor cry, neither any man hear his voice in the streets. Now that is not Israel. Every one of those things was happened in Israel. He strove, he cried, they heard his voice, he preached in the streets. He said, A bruised reed shall he not break. He did it. The smoking flask he shall not quench. He did it. Till he sent forth judgment unto victory. He judged, and it wasn't victory. But it says he's going to do it. He's going to do it. To the Gentile church.
And it's got to happen. Now, don't get any preconceived ideas outside of what Brother Branham says and what's going to happen, what the church is going to be like. Well, you'll end up completely cooped up like the latter rains. Remember, the latter rainers were the closest to Brother Branham. He told me personally. And I'm telling you, with my hand raised toward heaven, this Bible open, because a lot of folks just like to make me a liar. You think I'm spoofing and lying? I'll meet you with this. I'm telling you the truth. He said they were the closest, and you know yourself, it's right on the tape. He said the worst lie in the world is 99% true. Now we're quoting the prophet. Now we're showing you these things. And in his name shall the Gentiles trust. It tells you he himself is not here, but his name is here. Now remember, the one that came in his father's name, the father and son got the same name. So you talk about Jesus Christ, Messiah, here in the form of the Holy Spirit. That is the Father. It's not the one sitting on the throne. Oh, my God, how people get mixed up on that one. I'll read you something later on if we get to it. Now, just as sure as he raised Jesus, just as sure as God raised Jesus out of the grave under 3 days, within the 3 days, under three dispensations or three sections, he's going to raise the church to its fullness and power again. I will restore, saith the Lord. Now you notice there's three phases in there. Justification, sanctification, baptism, all under reformation. That's three. Remember God moving in three. But remember, four is deliverance. The church is not delivered until number four, which is a prophet. See, under restoration. Now, what happened? That old caterpillar started eating and having the same kind of effects that he did. But what did he do? He only got the Lutheran branches. Now, I'm telling you, he only got branches. He never got the spirit behind there that Luther had, for it lived right on. Now, let's just take a look at that. Brother Branham categorically said, the measure of the Spirit was the measure of the Word, because the Word was the conduit. And there was only a part of the Word restored under Luther, so only a measure of the Holy Spirit was given. See, into the church. Let's understand that only a measure was given. We are not talking about individuals being born again. We are talking about a measure of Spirit and truth. You understand what I'm saying? Well, most people don't. I'm not mad at you. But I'm fed up to the gills. Can't they understand anything? Merciful God, if I had a court bottle, yes, I got a bottle right here. All right, I'm going to tell you right now, that is not full. How many can see that? God, can you see now? That's not full. Pretty close, but it's not full. Now we lowered that bottle by a measure of communion service. We're not interested in that. Where is the fact that there was a measure of that Word and a measure of the Spirit? Number one, under justification, was a measure in the church. Number two, sanctification brought on another measure. And under the baptism with the Holy Ghost brought on another measure, which needed only the head, which needed only the final measure, to bring the fullness, or the Holy Ghost Himself. Himself. He. Pillar of fire in the church. Now, is this too hard to understand? Oh, I don't know. Is it too hard to understand? Am I talking so over your heads and so fast because I understand I'm not getting it across? I read the script they hand me back on my sermons, and I said, what if the folk aren't getting anything? My God, if I listened to myself preach, I'd go crazy too. I'm trying to slow down and I take it word by word and point by point. Now listen, let's get the picture. So you understand I'm talking from the Word of God the same as the prophet. Now, if we believe in William Branham, prophet of God vindicated, you are going to have to take what he said. Live, die, sink, or swim. You're just a bunch of fat-headed liars. You know something? Every one was going to get a goose cooked pretty soon. You know pretty soon if we're sheep or not. Come on. You can bluff after a little bit. When the dead come forth, you're not going to bluff anymore. I can stand here and bluff you if I was a bluff. I'm biting my tongue for one reason, so the church doesn't get hurt. Don't worry. Listen. He said in the 9th verse, for we know... Now, We know in part and we prophesy in part. 10. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part should be done away. Brother Branham said, what is perfect but God? And who is God but the Word? Therefore, by His grace, we have the perfect revelation of the Word for this hour. And the word perfect means completely finalized. There is nothing left to be added. It's finished. It's polished. It's complete. One scratch. One scratch, which is one word off. It's rude. Therefore, the fullness of the Word of God is in the church, perfect restoration. All right, listen. In 7 ages, it had 7 parts of a message. But it died in the 4th age. Under the 5th, it began coming back. 5, 6, 7. So now we have the 3 parts. Justification, sanctification, baptism with the Holy Ghost. Not just doctrines, but true, absolute experiences of the Holy Ghost, which are in the Word. Because the Holy Ghost is what justifies you, what sanctifies you, and fills you. And it's all the work of God. Now, let's go to the book of Ephesians. This is absolutely fabulous. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, verse 17, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. That spirit comes into the church. So therefore, at the end time, you have laid aside every doctrine and every single thing. Although that's wonderful and important, the big thing is this. If you're on that foundation, and you are a part of that, and that which is perfect has come, you're in the state of perfection right in this hour. And the state of perfection is that the church has the fully restored Word of God and God Himself in the midst of His people. In other words, the measure, the measure that God poured into this church was poured into Christ, that measure. But God Himself, in His sovereign grace and mercy, was never poured into the church. He stood right there Himself, the Eternal One. And He stands right now in the bride, and Brother Branham said, the pillar of fire, Elohim Jehovah, Jehovah Elohim, is the one that is leading the bride at this very point in time. Now, Brother Branham said there were Lutheran branches. And here's where we blow it again, because we're going to go right into Scripture. And Scripture, you know that when I go to Scripture, I'll take chapters at a time. It's not going to bother me one bit, but it does take our time up. Now notice, we're going to talk about these branches. I am the true vine and my Father is the husbandman. Which is exactly true. Now remember, at this particular time, it's followed over here in John 16 and 29. His disciples said unto him, lo, now speakest thou plainly and speakest no proverb. Over here it's a proverb. Because God acts is not a vine. And a proverb is an illustration. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. Now, why is he saying this? Because Paul delineated and said, we are the body of Christ. That's what you're looking at. I am the true vine, my Father is the husbandman. Oh, come on. Paul said we were also a building. Did he not? So, all right. You've got to put the whole thing in the frame of context, and I'm going to jump ahead of myself a little bit. But in the 4th chapter of the book of Ephesians, you find positively that the Holy Ghost has specified ministries for the perfecting, equipping of the saints, the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into perfect unity right to the headship, where there is no more edifying or building because the building's complete and all it needs is a capstone. And capstone is here spiritually. He said so. So don't do not more than that. We'll hit it a little while later on. Now, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, that it might bring forth more fruit. Now that tells you right there we're looking at. We read it over there when we talked about it in the foundation of 1 Corinthians 3. Now you're clean through the word that I spoke it. They're justified. They're sanctified. After because you sanctify them by thy word, thou art truth. Abide in me and I in you. as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can you except you abide in me. Now, it tells you right there. Now, listen, we got a vine, we got a tree, we got a house. All of those things mean something. The house means building layer upon layer and finishing. The tree speaks of the self-impelled life within, which should bring forth within that tree, which is the branch tree. Now the foundation is laid, and there cannot be another foundation, no way, shape, and form. And that foundation is that foundation of eternal life, absolutely the truly revealed Word of God, and no matter what anybody says or does, that foundation will have a house upon it to the glory of God, the same as there'll be a tree. It's going to bear the fruit. You understand what I'm saying? Well, you better, because I'm going to quote from the prophet here. Now, I am the vine, you're the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same, bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. What about if he ceases abiding in them? Because they've gone off the word. If a man abide in me, he cast forth the branches and withered. Men gather them, cast them into fire and a burn. Now, you're going to find that Brother Branham refers to this as the organizations. Not just individuals. If you abide in me, my words abide in you. You'll ask what you will, it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified. You bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. Now he's throwing prayer in there, but the big thing is a bearing or a carrying, which allows God to produce himself and what he wants within the church and the individuals. Now God wants a church restored. He's going to have it. Think he's already got it, and people aren't aware of it. Here's my Father glorified, you bear much fruit, you so shall you be my disciples. As the Father loved me, if I've loved you, continue in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. Even as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. See, that's the same as I in him, him in me, and I in you. You and me. These things I've spoken unto you that my joy might remain in you. And your joy might be full. This is my commandment. You love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man. This is a man who laid down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do my if whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants. The servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. I call you friends. For all things I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. There you are. It's got to repeat. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you. You should bring forth fruit. And your fruit should remain. Whatsoever shall ask the Father in my name, will give it to you. These things I command you, love one another. If the world hates you, know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were the world would love his own. But because you're not of the world, but I've chosen you out of the world hated you. Now you see what you're looking at right here. Whether you recognize it or not, is the interplay in religion. Of one of which is a true religion and the other is not a true religion. And you're going to find that religion makes the biggest difference. It's bigger than politics, it's bigger than anything. Actually, politics is run by religion. Remember the word I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. They persecuted me, they'll persecute you also. If they have kept my sayings, they will keep yours also. Now there's the thing right there. The Word of God is what makes that difference. It makes that love. It makes the true interplay in a bride. But all these things will he do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. In other words, they don't have a true revelation of God. They don't understand how God brings all his ministry through the prophet. If I had not come and spoken to them, they had not sinned, but now they have no cloak for their sin. Now watch that one. That's for the judgment. He that hated me hateth my Father also. If I had not done among them the works no other man did, they had not sinned, but now they have both seen and hated both me and my Father. Same thing right today. But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that is written in the law, they hate me without a cause. But when the Comforter is come, when I send unto you, whom I will send unto you from the Father, in the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, didn't say it came from him, came from the Father, he shall testify of me. Now what spirit's in our midst today? The Spirit of truth. Who's here? God himself, the Father. And ye shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. What beginning? Way back when all the sons of God shouted the praise of God, morning stars shouted, and the sons of God clapped their hands. These things are spoken unto you, that you should not be offended. They should put you out of synagogues. The time comes, whosoever killeth you will think he does God a service. What about the foolish virgin left in the tribulation? And these things they'll do unto you because they have not known the Father nor me. They claim to know both, don't they? But these things I told you when the time shall come, you remember that I told you them. And these things I said not in the beginning because I was with you. But he said, I'm going away now. So I'm telling you now. But now I go my way to him that sent me. None of you say, whither goest thou? But because I've said these things, sorrow filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, expedient I go away. If I do not go away, the comforter shall not come. And so on, right on down the line. You can read this, and you'll see that we're running an exact parallel in this hour that we had previously. Now, what this is all about is the fact that I told you briefly. Vine, building, call it what you want, call it a tree. It is all the same thing. They are all illustrations or parables, and with it they bring you truths that Brother Branham was bringing out here, and everything he brings out here is already in the Bible. Now he said, those branches, he said, they're going to go. And they're cut off. And he said, has there been an organization that ever came back from the dead? And the answer is no, they cannot do it. Now, watch what he said here. The caterpillar began eating. He only got the Lutheran branches. He never got the spirit there that Luther had, for it lived right on, and the same spirit multiplied or augmented itself under justification because it had a bigger conduit. That's how Luther outshone the Catholic Church, so the Catholic Church had nothing but darkness. Wesley came and outshone Luther. And Pentecost outshone Wesley. Now the fourth will outshine them all. Because they are going to be the resurrected saints, and they are going to be the ones that never die. Now, it lived right on. Now, that's what you're looking at. See, because you're looking at a tree that's going to go straight up, and the branches are going to be cut off, but the light is not going to go down into the root where there isn't a tree. In other words, the darkness has done all it can do. And it can't do any more because God is intervening sovereignly according to word. We'll proceed that as Brother Branham brings it. Then along came Wesley. After Wesley died, that great prophet. Now he calls him a prophet, and I believe that's true in the sense of great preacher, because he said prophets are preachers. After Wesley died, what did they do? They organized and all the branches died. What did he do? The church lived right on. Came right on to Pentecost. When they organized, what happened? The branches died. Then what? The church goes right along. What? The same thing Pentecostal did, the same old Catholic denominational creed that took it in the first place to destroy the bride tree in the first place, is the same old tactics the devil did on the second tree. But what? God predestinated it. He said something about this, evidently he didn't say about the other. So therefore, if Israel is looking for some great, big, tremendous glory, then I don't see it. I'll see it. She had her chance, it's gone. 144,000 get saved, then what? It's all over. The earth begins to burn and remold itself, so to speak, so the bride can come back and be upon it. She's going to go on regardless. She's got to go on regardless. If it wouldn't have organized Luther's revelation, it would have settled it right there. Now, what he's saying is this. If the church had to receive Luther's revelation, that would have settled it. But it didn't. Now, those words are the same as Jesus said, if you'd accepted John the Baptist for what he was, that would have done it. But you turned it down. Now, that's strange, but it's true. They couldn't see it. Now, it would have settled it. It all went back just like another. It had been Second Catholic Church, Roman Catholic Church. See, in other words, they did what the Catholic Church did. But God was determined. He'd spoken His word. His law, we'll see it come to pass. Now, what is His law? The Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. The law of God is spirit. His word is word. He's word, but he's spirit. Now, God's law, God himself is light. We'll see that it comes to pass, and it does because it's the life in the tree that keeps coming up. No matter how many late frosts it has. In other words, it can be accosted at any time. It's going to live anyhow. It might have cold spells and denominational difference and everything. But that tree's going to live just as sure as there's a living God to make it live. Yes, sir. He said, I will restore. I know we've got some late springs, late season of Easter coming. And the Lord's tarrying his coming, they say, and everything like that. And Brother Branham said the resurrection took place at the latest time Easter can fall, which would be in April, right? But that doesn't mean anything. It's just, say, well, he can't come this year because that's early. No, it doesn't mean that. He just gave us a quote on it. And the cold winds killed a lot of these denominational branches. But it can't kill that life that's predestinated. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word shall not. All that he foreknew he called. Those who he called he's justified. Those whom he justified he already glorified. Hallelujah. It's written in the Lamb's book of life and cannot die. Why? Because it's a book of life. It's not a book of death. It's a book of death where it says Pharaoh and these men were ordained, which means it was written of them. The word ordained doesn't mean like you and I. It's written of them. Now again, notice that in spite of the church being in an unrestored state, God does not leave it, but will bring it forth in victory as we showed you in Matthew 12. All right. All the bugs that hell can turn loose on her will never stop her. No communism, Catholicism, no nothing else will stop it. I will restore, saith the Lord. All the man-made Roman trees will never hang it there. All the graves will never keep it there. All the big denomination stones lying at the door will never keep it there. I will restore, saith the Lord. There will be an Easter, which he said means resurrection, you know, in the Easter seal. I'll bring forth that same church in its same power. I'll bring that bride out just like she was back there with the same signs, the same fruits, the same thing they did. I'll bring her back again. I'll restore, saith the Lord. Now, right there, if you want to, you can go plumb back to Pentecost, but I'm not going back to Pentecost. William Branham is talking about restoration. And when he talks about restoration, he talks about perfection, the perfect word of God revealed. As he said, just think how wonderful the same pillar of fire that brought the word to Paul is here revealing it. He came back from the curtain of time and he said, I preached the same gospel Paul did. They said, we're resting on that. And that's in 2 Thessalonians, his first chapter. Absolutely, you cannot get away from it. So therefore, what he's talking about is the Apostle Paul in the body of Christ 100% vindicated. You got the same thing today. Don't try to say, hallelujah, you're going to big signs and wonders. We're going to do this and that. You're going to do nothing. Brother Branham said, when the seals were open, you had everything to put you into the rapture, the resurrection. And he said, from now on, just live good Christian lives. And why don't they do it? Why are they lying, cheating and stealing and marrying and ungodly, going with ungodly women, doing ungodly things and no conscience? And turning away from a vindicated man. I could say some things here, but I'm going to spare some feelings because you might think I'm plugging you. I don't intend to. Now listen, I'm going to take you to Psalm 89. Now we're going to see something in here that's applicable as far as I'm concerned for our day. Beginning at verse 20. I have found David my servant, with my holy oil I have anointed him. He said, I found him, I gave him the anointing. Why? Because he predestined. With whom my hand shall be established, mine arm shall strengthen him. With whom my hand shall be established. God's going to establish something with this man. Yeah. Oh, he's only man. Who's he think he is? After David proved who he was, Shimei cursed him because David got all stunk up with women. He had it coming to him. You sow, you reap. Remember right away what happened to David? Nathan came by and David, I'll kill the man who did that terrible thing. He said, you are the man. He said, oh God, I'm sorry. And prophet said, you're forgiven, but you're going to pay the rest of your life. Huh? You sit here tonight. And those who hear this tape and those who cease hearing, they don't want to hear the truth. Forgive me, Jesus, and I won't have to reap. You're a liar. You're a liar. You're perverting the Word of God, want to make the Word of God fight the Word of God. How stupid can anybody get? You're going to pay for what you do. You're going to reap what you sow. Hunkahooyah. You think I didn't reap what I sowed? You bet I did. When I quit preaching, I went through living hell. You won't know about it till you get there yourself. I came back, don't worry. Sometimes it's good for you. The enemy shall not exact upon him, nor the son of wickedness afflict him. And I'll beat down his foes before his face and plague them that hate him. But my faithfulness and my mercy shall be with him. And in my name his horn shall be exalted. That's his power and strength. I will set his hand also in the sea and his right hand in the rivers. And he shall cry to me, Thou art my Father, my God, the rock of my salvation. Also I'll make him my firstborn, higher than the kings of the earth. My mercy will I keep for him forever, and my covenant shall stand fast with him. His seed also will I make to endure forever, and his throne as the days of heaven. If his children forsake my law and walk not in my judgments, if they break my statutes and keep not my commandments, then will I visit their transgressions with the rod and iniquity of stripes. Nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that has gone out of my lips. Once I've sworn by my holiness that I will not lie unto David, his seed shall endure forever, and his throne as the sun before me. It shall be established forever as the moon, and as a faithful witness in heaven, Selah. Tells you right there, you're going to make it, but you'd be whipped around, kid. And if you get away with it, what's going to happen? It proves that you're a bastard. You don't like my preaching. You got it anyway. I'm going to meet you with the same pillar of fire standing with the same prophet. Even if I'm casting a lake of fire after it, I'll still be right there. Don't worry. I'm not lying to you, Brother Sitcher. Let's go to Romans 9. Let's preach the truth tonight. Let's get right to the bottom. No, he's fooling around. Romans the 9th chapter. I want to tell you about this bride tree. That church can mess up. That church can really mess up. But that life is still going to go on. And remember, every single time the word comes, it separates. The word separates. It calls you out. It knocks you out. It buffets you out. It throws you out. What fellowship has light with darkness? You answer that one. I say the truth in Christ, I lie not. My conscience bearing witness in the Holy Ghost. I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart, for I could wish myself a curse from Christ for the brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh. For Israelites to whom pertaineth the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of law, the service of God, and the promise, if they messed up. Whose are the Father? And of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, was over all God bless her. Threw it away. But hey, you say the word of God flunked. The word of God fell. The word of God flunked. Ha! Are you kidding? Listen. Not as though the word of God had taken none effect, for they are not all Israel which are called Israel. They're not Christians who call themselves Christians. Neither because are they the seed of Abraham are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. And right on down the line. I'll restore. What? Restore all that the denominations ate off. Restore all the organizations ate off. I'll restore, saith the Lord. Now you say, what about those things that went off into denomination? God is the good husband. He pruned the tree. That was all. Cut off all the dead limbs. What's he going to do? Burn them up exactly. God is the husbandman of this tree, and you are God's tree or husbandry. He takes care of it. He watches over his heritage. What is his heritage? His own word. Now stop and think. How many were with me when I was preaching in Quincy 11, 12 years ago? Raise your hands. Thank you. You don't remember anything I said about this, do you? I taught you wrong. I did my best. But I didn't know everything the tape said. And I studied and I struggled. And I let you know that was the best I could do with Ephesians chapter 1. And I think I spent as many as 26 or maybe 48 sermons on it. God knows the hours I preached and you sat there. It was one of the highlights of my life to sit there and ponder that word day and night, even though I was going through crisis periods. All right. Let's look at it and see the truth. What is his heritage? Brother Branham says, his own word. The word heritage means inheritance. What is his inheritance? Now let's go to Ephesians chapter 1 and 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his word in the saints. 13 years to get that revelation. I got it sitting back there before I came in. I said, I wanted to keep my announcements low and short so I'd get back and let you know my God is faithful. You don't have to run ahead and try to get your answers. Have patience. And if you make an error, the word will correct the error if you're a bride. What is his word in the saints? Oh, yes, brother, sister, his word in the saints is over here in Isaiah chapter 55. And he tells us that. Well, it's just not there, but hey, that's part of it. But I want you to know the glory of his inheritance. What is in you? The word. The conduit. What is in you? The Holy Spirit. This now is the true baptism with the Holy Ghost. No longer a smidgen, no longer a part, but the whole of it. Whether you want to believe it, I believe it because, hey, he just revealed scripture after scripture after scripture after scripture. Listen, it says here, for my thoughts in verse 8 are not your thoughts, neither your ways my ways, saith the Lord, for the heavens are higher than the earth. My ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts and your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, the snow memory turneth not thither, but bringeth, but roddeth the earth, and bringeth forth bringeth forth and bud. And make it to bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. Now it tells you distinctly here. It says here, the water of the earth, and make it to bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So therefore, at the end time, positively, the seed that has been sown is the children's bread, and is the manna on the journey that's going to bring some of us standing here to perfect health. You'll never be sick again. Your eyes will never go crossed again. You won't have to worry about operations and glasses, kidney failure, anything else. Children's bread, the manna, the word of Almighty God. Now, the first time around, organization forced life down to the roots. This time the bride tree goes on and organizations are cut off. Before, the organizations did the cutting off. But the tables are turned. But now the organizations are cut off. Life is not affected by what they do. But life of Christ and the bride is increased. Even to headship. He tells you how the capstone is here. When the Lutherans said we're going to become an organization, well, as big as the Catholics, all right, he pruned off the branch. And Wesley took it right on, raised up another prophet or preacher of righteousness. Then as soon as Wesley died, that great preacher, prophet, righteousness or prophet, what did they do? They organized. Then came Pentecost. Soon as she died, he pruned that off. Chaff is destroyed. It's ready for the burning. He pruned that off. It's rising. It's raising right up on now. See, he's going to restore. Now watch. Where does the fruit grow? It doesn't start down on the bottom. It starts in the top. Where does the sun hit the tree first? Now, you see, he's trying to tell you something here. He's trying to tell you the fact of what you're looking at in the Word of God. There's going to be a resurrection, but there's going to be a people who go to the tree of life because they've got to, because Adam and Eve denied it. He interrupted. They interrupted. Now, we've got to get there. So he's telling you now who is going to go to the tree and get the fruit. Somebody here at the end time, because Eden never left the earth. Everybody thinks Eden left. Eden did not leave the earth. Brother Branham categorically said so. The cherubims keep people out of it. It's in the dimension. Don't ask me about it. I don't answer all these things. I just quote the prophet. But I agree with the prophet because he's right. I would have found myself wrong if I ever disagreed, so why bother disagreeing? I always found if you put your hand on a red hot plate, you'll burn. Yes, you'll sizzle. So don't be an idiot. Once ought to be enough if you've got something up here except a lump of fat. Where does the sun hit the first tree, or the tree first? Glory. In the evening light, in the top of the tree, amen. Not down on the bottom branches, but up there in the top of the tree, where the fruit ripens at. Now, what is the top of the tree? The top of the tree eventually has to be where the tree doesn't have any more growth. It's through growing. Where is that? That's in the book of Isaiah. I beg your pardon. Ephesians chapter 4. Now it tells you. Here. That we henceforth be no more to and fro like children. Tossed to and fro. Carried along with every wind of doctrine. By the sleight of men and cunning crafts. By the lie they lay wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love. For holding the truth in love. May grow up unto him. Not into him, but unto him in all things. We're already in him. The body. Now you're growing up to the head. Because the church isn't the head. The Word is the head. And the Holy Spirit fills the Word, brings us right to Himself. But holding the truth in love may grow up unto Him in all things which is hid in Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted, by that which every joint supplied, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase the body unto the edifying of itself in love by the Holy Ghost. And it tells you right there positively. Now, when the last elected member is in child train, there's going to be a resurrection and a rapture. So it tells you at the very end time, when the tree is through growing, the life is through manifesting, it's all over. This is the final phrase, the final end of it. He said there's going to be a fruit there. Now remember, he said it's His fruit, which was Christ. And we have God doing today in the form of a pillar of fire, in the form of the Spirit, in a pillar of fire through a prophet, what He did absolutely through that great prophet, the prophet Himself, the God prophet Jesus Christ. Absolutely, we're looking at it. So, the top is where life is giving out. Now, let's watch this carefully. Brother Branham categorically took upon himself to reveal that he was Malachi the prophet. I beg your pardon, Malachi 4, 5, and 6, Elijah the prophet. He said categorically that we have the perfect revealed word of this hour. He said categorically the same pillar of fire that brought the word to Paul is here revealing it. He categorically said that nobody can add or take a word from him. Therefore, he categorically said, just say what I see, not say what I say, not what anybody else said. Now, here's what you're looking at. You're looking at the fact that when the tree has stopped growing, God doesn't add one more limb to it. He doesn't add one more leaf to it. He doesn't add one more person to it. He does not give one more revelation. He does not have anybody on the scene to add anything, only to take what this man said vindicated. Well, Brother Bill, my tree's different. You bet your life it is. I agree with that. I've watched people over the years. No problem right there. I've seen them. I can call them by name. But I try to give up name calling. It doesn't do any good anyway. They're not going to listen. Just hate me all the more. Of course, that's good. It costs some money. They start writing more books and making more telephone calls. It helps the business. But you hear what I'm saying? Huh? Talk! Then don't try to add to it. Don't try to raise somebody else up. This fellow gave you that revelation. Another fellow gave you another revelation. Stick with what the prophet. See, it all goes back to the Word. Now, in the evening light in the top of the tree, amen. Not down the bottom branches. Not even Luther. Not even Wesley. That's Reformation. Not even Pentecost. Reformation. But the fruit that's at the tree planted by the water, bringing forth His fruit, God's fruit, in His season. If it started that way, it's got to end that way. Who did it start with in the Gentile church? Where from 33 to 53, 1900 years ago. A platform was laid. What was the foundation? Paul said, I laid it. Jesus Christ the righteous, who came forth. God came forth, and the pillar of fire brought the word. The foundation's laid. And Paul says, in our day, if we believe that gospel, we got it made. How are you going to believe that gospel if the same Holy Ghost doesn't come down and give it to somebody? Well, bless God, he'll give it to the church. Especially, oh, I'm not going to say that. You women will think I'm too tough on you. God knows I love you, sister, like I love my own heart. But I can't stand mouthy women. I can hear from God. Don't ever pull that on me. My own sister told me she heard the voice of God. I said, Myrtle, don't ever say that. I said, only a prophet can hear the voice of God. I said, I heard a voice in the building like thunder. I said, I never heard God's voice. Only a prophet can hear it. I said, if somebody else sat there, wouldn't have heard one thing. The Holy Spirit jiggled my auditory nerve and put words there. Well, she said, whatever it was, I'll agree. She's a nice girl, see. She'd have been a mouthy one. I bless God. I don't want God to talk to me. Any woman got that spirit? Let me tell you right now. You're lost. Any man the same way. You come against this word, you're lost. I can't help you. But I'm going to tell you one thing. I'm clearing my skirts like the Apostle Paul did. He said, the blood of nobody's on my hands. Now, Paul could have taken a 4x4 and knocked some brains out. Still wouldn't have cost you the blood in his hands. He said, I'm not shunned to declare the full counsel of God. Now, Brother Branham sings that little song he loves. Amen, do you love him? Amen, will you serve him? Amen, the people answer back to you, and so on. I sure do believe him with all my heart. Now, what is it? He's going to prune off all those old dead vines or branches as she comes up, all those organization vines, till he gets right in the top of the tree. That's where he's going to get his fruit. In other words, headship is there, and he says it is. Now watch. Now notice. God prunes her. Absolutely the truth. God prunes us as individuals. He prunes the tree. Don't you mistake it. He said, all right, they're dead and won't come into the presence of God. Now watch what he says next. Won't come into the first resurrection. Presence of God precedes the first resurrection. So I said, Brother Branham made a mistake. Prove it. Come on. Give me your miracle. I got a bad back. Some of the time. Come on. Lay your hands on me and demand it to go. My head's baldy. Put in 3 hairs. Come on. Well, do something for God's sake. You're mighty quiet, aren't you? Because you know stinking well you can't do it. I've had a better ministry than all you guys put together ever had or ever will have. And I can't put 3 hairs in, or I'd be doing 3 hairs per day. Happily, happily, happily. I don't even know about biofeedback to control pain. But I know one thing, when my thoughts go to God, the pain can go. Now, my pain's not all that bad. It's bad, but it's not all that bad. I can keep on moving. So, wish Brother Bailey, wish you wouldn't. Well, that's your wish, but not mine. They're dead. They won't come into the presence. They won't come into the first resurrection. But be with the vine fruit of the organizational vine, not vine of God. They'll go into the organization group, but they won't come with the fruit of the vine. Why? Because he's got to come into the church to restore. And restore means going right back where Adam and Eve could go right to that tree of life. The interruption's over. Oh, my. I thought this sermon he preached wasn't so good, but I'm so good, I just can't leave it alone. Now, look, God never did put out an organization. The church puts the draft in an organization. What does it mean? They draft up a constitution. Well, not a constitution. They draw up their doctrine is what they do. And God cuts it off. Cuts its lifeline. Why? Because the minute they did that, they said, this is it. That was only a part of the word. How'd you like to see a baby born that's just a part? Where the women took the thalidomide. That's a perfect picture of what goes on in the churches. The church took thalidomide. They the woman pregnant, restless and nervous, so the church has fed her the thalidomide to calm her down, and the babies were born without arms. A woman in the States wanted an abortion, she couldn't get it, she went to Europe. Because she knew the baby had no arms, she aborted it. You got the wrong pill, sister? Look what you're going to bring forth, sister church. Huh? You want peace and quiet? Now you want that great joy. Hallelujah, feel good. You're never going to produce Christ. Impossible. You got thalidomide. Got a drug. And remember, the druggists are part of the whore in the end time judgment. Oh, these things come together so fabulously. It bears organization fruit. But if that vine put forth a branch that came out of the vine, it'll bear the same as that. Remember that Brother Branham talked about that if ever brings forth another branch? So you see, the first one was, and Rome sent their beetles over there and eat it off. And God's going to grow one so high he can't touch it. It's going to come up. Come on up. Amen. Let's go. The tree goes from one place to another. From one dispensation to another dispensation. From Luther it went to Wesley. From Wesley to Pentecost. From Pentecost it goes to the Word. And how does the Word come? A prophet. So when you have a prophet, you can neither worship and serve God without him. Take your pick. Well, I'm going to worship without him. Okay, Cain did too. It's Easter again for the true believers of his never-failing word. It's Easter. In other words, it's resurrection. God's got people everywhere. It's Easter for them. Why? They have risen. Amen. In heavenly places in Christ Jesus, according to Ephesians, the first chapter. They've risen from their creeds and domination, which is death. Come right up through them. It's Easter again. The royal seed has been hidden in the roots. The word hid back here in this word, you know, messed around for years and years and years, and just now begin to be revealed. It's Easter time, predestinated from the foundation of the world. This church is beginning to stand. Now remember, Brother Tommy Hicks had a vision. Oh, the full gospel businessmen, full of bunk businessmen, out for a buck. How they published his vision. And he saw the church lying there, helpless and all held down by an army of little men like ants and all. And suddenly began to roar and stand up and go zooming down the road. Oh, gosh, his vision, no more vision from God than nothing. Him a Trinitarian. I know he's dead. I'm not blaspheming the guy. I'm just telling you the truth. I got no time for Bunyan's vision, kid's vision in India and in China. I got no time for these guys. I've got this vindicated message. Why don't I worry about anything else? The prophet didn't say it, don't say it. He's got no vindicated vision. The church is going to go snorting down. His bunch of people, the Pentecostals, that's what he was talking about. Oh, come on. Going to shake yourself like a... I know he's got script like God shaking himself like a man out of a dream and angry, you know. Well, they can have it, but don't tell Lee Vale. I'm not interested. Let's read this again. It's Easter again for the true believers of his never-failing word. The never-failing word is the vindicated word revealed. It's Easter. It's resurrection. When you get that, it's resurrection time. God's got people everywhere. It's Easter for them. It's resurrection. See why? They have risen. Amen. Risen from those creeds and denominations. Right up through them. It's Easter again. The royal seed's been hid in the roots. The word. Hid back here in this word for years and years. And just now being revealed. And Christ is revealed in his own word. There isn't any other way you can find what he looks like, what he's doing, or anything else. Huh? No, there's no other way. The royal seed has been hidden. All these years hid back there. But it's Easter time. It's time for him to come forth again. Predestinated from the foundation of the world. This church is beginning to stand. Well, I don't know, we're just about finished, aren't we? So let's put a little here and see what I can do tomorrow morning. And not much use trying to pray I'm going to finish this up. But of course, you know, it's a plot that keeps me from getting a little vacation. Because I thought if I could finish this up in two sermons, I'd get away for a little tiny bit and take it easy. But it's all right. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you again for your time of grace that you've given us, Lord, and the hour in which we live, the word here, Lord, which is so fantastic. When you begin to open it to us and we see these things, Lord, it just makes us marvel. And marvel, Lord, to just see how these things that were hidden from people have been revealed by vindication. And we just can't praise you enough, Lord. That's our joy. That's our joy, Lord. That's our joy. I don't know any other joy. Now, I used to know different kinds of joy, Lord. It's different ministries. But the joy that I know now is to see this word and take it right back to the word and and see, there it is, there it is, there it is, there it is. And I thank you, Lord, that you that were hidden back there all these years, now when the Word come forth, and you yourself personally, still hidden from our view because we can't see you, but now we see you, face to face, lip to lip, ear to ear, eye to eye, doesn't matter, we know, because the Word has been revealed, Christ revealed in His own Word, God Himself. Same pillar of fire and cloud that led them out of Egypt, kept them safe on the burning sands, cold at night, made them warm, gave them manna, shuck off all those that didn't belong, all the foolish also, and took in the people. Lord God in heaven, I trust tonight, there's not one of us here that won't make it, not by anything we've done, but by your grace, because you said, I will restore, I'm going to have a bride. God, may we just thank you, Lord, that at least we have an opportunity to hear these things, to know these things that are real. Oh, that does us so much good, Lord, so much good, so much good. We praise thee for it. May glory be given to you in the name of Jesus Christ, amen. All right, we're going to not take any long length of time for the communion service, so what we'll do, we'll just read over here in, we'll just go ahead. I'm going to read, I don't know why, but I will. Isaiah 53, that has to do with the very service we're talking about. And it says, who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Brother Branham talked about that hand right there. I mean the scripture, that song telling about it. God's going to use him as his hand. God's going to use him as the... You know what a hand does? A hand picks things up. A hand picks things up, and a hand goes ahead and and moves things around. It puts things in order. It's the one that reaches down and gives you food. The arm goes further. The arm makes the hand possible. Who made it all possible? Jesus did. How did he make it possible? For the prophets, the apostles, teachers, evangelists, pastors, every member of the bride of Jesus Christ. How did he make it possible? He made it possible. No one else could do that work of that hand here without that arm reaching down. He grew up before him as a tender plant, a root out of dry ground, no form, no comeliness. And when they'll see him, there's no beauty they should desire him. No, you know why? Because he conks on the head all their beautiful thoughts and their beautiful doctrines and everything they had all figured out. They were just too smart for God. Yep. So they got mad at God. They said, hey, we can do a better job than this. They despised him, rejected him. Why? Because he preached the word, came against their creeds and dogmas. Man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. Yeah, he would have loved to have them come in, but they know, no way. They hid their faces. Hey, no way. We won't give them a look. Come on, look. Hey, take a look. No, we ain't going to look. Nah. You think that's not happening today? Come on. Come on. Alpha's always Omega, brother, sister. When they crucify to themselves, it's always the same thing. But watch. Hey, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. That actually means healing, sickness and pains. If I had not done the works, nor the man did, they had not sinned, but now they've both hated me and my Father. Right in front of them. They wouldn't esteem him. Nah. No way. Now, do you think for 1 minute the people that come against the revealed Word of God and the Holy Ghost in this hour esteem Christ upon the cross, smitten of God and afflicted? You think that they're part of that? There's no way. Come on. No way. Listen, smart enough. Do you realize that you are not going to go to the lake of fire and having part of your hands hanging out to get cool? The rich man in hell, if they said, oh, he said, let Lazarus come and put a drop on my tongue, it's hot. He said, I'm sorry, all of you's in there. There's no white blackbird, no drunk sober person, no half in hell individual. There's no bride that's out there floating around hoping to be part of the holy city. Hey, she's part of the foundation. She's got 12 foundations. Oh man, you talk about a city. 12 foundations, they just haven't even begun hardly. 12 foundations? gates miles wide. Hey, listen. I don't think we should have a foot washing service. I think we have a Jubilee march, but there's nobody here at the tambourine. We get accused of not being lively enough. If I got any more lively, I'd be shouting hallelujah. It wouldn't hurt me if I didn't, or you. I'm not against praising God. I'm just against thinking you can get by with praising God, living in sin and fighting the word, being contrary to truth, and think that'll make it up for you. You say, well, God, I'm sorry I did it, and you still won't pay a price? Come on. How many times have you been sorry that you stuck your hand on a hot plate? How many times did you pray to God and got healed? 99 out of 100, you never got healed. Not that you couldn't have been having done it accidentally. Hey, come on. He was wounded for our transgression, bruised for our iniquities. If he was already done that, chastened our peace upon him, how in the world are you going to get lost? Now, you get slapped around for being disobedient. God will whip you. And without even doing anything, he'll check you out and try you. Yeah. And it's tough. No chastening for the time being seems joyous, but afterward the peaceful fruit is this. Hey, that's great. Hey, man, I got through that. When the race is over and you begin to take off your old armor, you've been fighting. Man, that feels good. And of course, if you can't take it off, it's a little bit harder, but you just keep moving. But one day you'll take it off. You say, oh man, that feels good. See? Right down the line. All right, that's what the Lord's Supper is all about. It's what he did. We thank him for doing it. He died to do it, costing his life blood. He did it. Now it's accomplished. Never to be done again. So, all right, let the brethren come forward that's going to serve. And we'll have them. Don't forget back here, we've got some places for men to wash their feet. Makes it easier. Let's rise at this time. Now, you know how we come. We've got one person takes care of the bread. We've got two sides where the men take care of the wine. Makes it much easier. The men have a place back there to wash feet. You all know how we do things here. So, all right, let's pray over the communion table. Heavenly Father, in this hour, we see all these things, O God. They come from our lips. They come so fast. They come in our thoughts and our minds. And, Lord God, it could be glib. We pray that it is not glib. We pray, Lord, that not is it only the truth, but it is a serious, sober, righteous, wonderful, life-giving truth. It's our very being, and our very being is based upon it. And we coming forth, Lord, will come forth in your image and shine in your brightness, not our own. Everything you accomplished, Lord, starts with that blood, and the word takes over. I pray tonight, Lord, as they go through the line, and the emblem of the broken body and the shed blood are partaken. You take over, Lord, so there'll be a sowing and a reaping consistent with the word. Watching, 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 because it's watching unto eternity. May we lay up treasure in heaven. May none of us fail of the goodness of God. May we be strengthened tonight, Lord, in this service, communion and foot washing. In the name of Jesus Christ.